The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
We are taking a break from our series, The Big Ask, this morning, and we have a guest speaker today. Some of you will remember that my mom spoke last year for Mother's Day, and that was a really fun Sunday. And my mom's here this morning as well, so I'm excited. I love having my mom here. But back in January, I called my mother-in-law, and we kind of concocted this plan for her to fly out for two reasons. One was I wanted to surprise Lisa for Mother's Day. They were talking yesterday, and they don't even remember the last time they were together on Mother's Day. And so we flew her out to spend the day or the weekend with her. We surprised her the other day. Lisa did not know that her mom was here, and I called. I'm like, hey, can we meet for dinner? And she's like, yeah, but I'm going into Target. I need three things. It'll be real quick, and I'll meet you over at Blaze. I'm like, awesome. So my mother-in-law and I, we go, and we get set up, and we find the booth so she can kind of hide, and we're going to surprise her. And 30 minutes goes by, and I start texting Mercy. I'm like, are you seriously still at Target? She's like, yes, Dad. Mom won't leave. And I'm like, help her. Like, do something. And an hour goes by, and an hour and a half goes by. And Mercy and I are texting emojis of each other, like dying and crying and skeletons starving to death, you know. And about an hour and 45 minutes later, after just three items, people, just three items, Lisa and the girls showed up, and we pulled off this big surprise. The girls were surprised. We've been having fun. They got to spend the day yesterday in Santa Fe together, and just having a great weekend. And so I asked my mother-in-law if she would speak today for Mother's Day. She's very qualified. One, she's a mom and a great mom. They have two daughters. You know Lisa, and Lisa has a sister, Stephanie. But also her and her husband, Don, they pastor a church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They've pastored there for a really long time. And I can tell you, my mother-in-law has a lot of depth to her. And I just felt like, I'm like, you would be awesome. I called her. I kind of had to talk her into it, honestly. She's like, I don't know. She was a worship leader for a long time. She's used to being in front of people, but that the idea of moving from like leading worship to speaking was a little difficult, but I convinced her. I'm like, you have something to offer, not just our ladies, but our entire church. And so I convinced her, and you are going to love it. We've already heard it in the first service. It was phenomenal. And so get ready for an amazing message. And while will you help me now in welcoming my mother-in-law, Eileen Williams.
Jeez. Those introductions just about scare you silly. Anyway, happy Mother's Day. I'm so glad you all came this morning, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Before I get started, I just wanted to pay tribute to my mom, who's with the Lord this morning. She was born again in the 80s. She was Catholic, loved the Lord with all her heart, and she began writing songs from the Psalms. And you just have to know her and know our family to know that God was in the midst. And her love for Jesus just grew and grew and grew, and things began to change in her life. And the day my mom went to be with Jesus, she had family all around her. She faintly whispered these words, which I will treasure all my life. She said, I loved being your mom. She told us all that. And you know, when it comes down to the end, what's most important to us is family. It's family. It's those, our loved ones, the ones that we care so much about. We celebrate Mother's Day today for so many, many reasons. I'm just going to name a few. Where moms are nurturers, caring for their families. Mothers never give up hoping, waiting, and praying for those she loves, no matter how she's treated by them. A mother loves her home and wants to make it a place her family loves to come to. A mother's a hard worker, going above and beyond to meet the needs of her family. A mother appreciates the differences in her children and loves them each the same. I remember one time we were in the car, and Lisa and Stephanie were just squabbling, you know, how that goes. And Don just had this idea. He just said, "Girls, do you think I love one of you more than the other?" And it was quiet, and Lisa said, "Yes." And Stephanie said, "Yes." And Don said, "Well, let me just set it straight. I love you both the same. You are very important to me. Different, but I love you the same." Moms have eyes behind their heads and can see everything. Ears that can hear the faintest whisper when you're wanting it to be a secret. And their children's voices above a crowd, no matter how big that crowd is. Moms are intuitive. They know exactly what's going on without anyone having to tell them anything just by looking in your eyes or listening to the sound of your voice. Moms are always on call. They're doctor, nurse, psychiatrist, counselor, accountant, event planner, homemaker, chef, teacher, coach, and you could probably fill in the blanks a lot further. She's the encourager to her husband. She's the one he confides in and trusts, his best friend. Proverbs 31, 10 and 11, it says, "A good woman is hard to find and worth more than diamonds. Her husband trusts her without reserve and never has reason to regret it." No wonder the enemy ferociously attacks women. No wonder, because we're important, gals. We're important to the family. How does the enemy attack women? I'm going to share with you three major ways the enemy attacks me. He still does, but he doesn't win. I can tell you, I've learned. And I might lose a battle, but I'm going to win this war. The first way is low self-esteem. Beliefs we have about ourselves that appear to be facts when they're really just opinions. They're based on experiences we've had in life about the kind of person we are. If our experiences have been negative, guess what? Our beliefs about ourselves are going to be negative too. What is the remedy for low self-esteem? The Word of God is our remedy. We don't have to put up with that. You don't have to put up with that today. If you've been struggling with that, I've got good news. The Word of God can set you free. John 8:32 says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Romans 12:2, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed." We can be transformers, y'all. "Transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If your mind's not transformed, you're not going to be able to know the will of God. You're not going to be able to know exactly what God is saying, what he's wanting you to do, where he's wanting you to go. The Word of God is valuable. Through it, by renewing your mind, you'll have a healthy self-esteem. You'll value yourself, your worth, and your overall opinion based on the Word, not what other people have told you or said about you. It's based on the Word of God. We've got to change our thinking. We have choices to make. We have to be good stewards of what God is doing in our life and what he has said in his Word. So we don't have to stay where we are today. Number two biggie for me was insecurity. When you grow up in a home where there's not affirmation and the only requirement is good works and to do it perfectly. My dad was a Marine, so if I had the chore, my week, we did weeks. We didn't do days. We didn't do just Saturdays. It was weeks. The whole week, Eileen, you have the bathroom. The next week is you have the ironing. We did that back then. No polyester. You know, so when it was my week, there I was cleaning the bathroom. We had a hot water heater in our bathroom. I mean, we lived in a shotgun house in New Orleans, okay? So, I mean, you open the front door and you look out the back, okay? So we had the hot water heater in the bathroom, and I did not want to clean the hot water heater, the top of it, okay? Toilet, sink, bathtub, got that, you know, but that was good. Not for Daddy. The baseboards, the top of the hot water heater, it was military, okay? So you never felt good enough. You never felt like you did it right. There wasn't a lot of affirmation. So the insecurity was strong in me. And what that means is lacking self-confidence, subject to fears and doubts, indecisive, horribly indecisive, not seeing yourself as possessing attributes that supposedly determine worthiness. When we're insecure, we are lacking confidence and trust, whether in ourselves or someone else. There are many causes of insecurity, but I believe the chief among them is a failure to fully trust God. Trust God with our life, with our children, with everything. Only God is worthy, and we can never be good enough to earn God's pleasure. I don't care what you look like, where you work, how hard you try. The only worthy that we have is Jesus Christ. That's why he came down and became our righteousness. He is our righteousness. And that's why we can approach the throne of grace with confidence, because of him. So don't try harder. Believe greater and stronger. Put your faith and trust in the Lord and in his word. So we need to renew our minds to overcome insecurity. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Most blessed is the man or the woman who believes in, trusts in, relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. This scripture is such a blessing. You have to just meditate on it and go look at a tree that's planted by the water next time you're out and about. And you'll really get what this scripture is trying to say. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river and shall not see and fear when heat comes. But his leaves shall be green. He shall not be anxious and careful in the year of drought, nor shall he cease from yielding fruit. That is a huge promise. You won't cease from yielding fruit if you put your roots down deep in Jesus. If you put your roots down deep in the Lord, if you trust in, rely on him, believe in him, and put your hope and confidence in him, you won't be disappointed ever. Philippians 4, 6 and 8 through 8 is go-to scripture forever for me. Don't be anxious. Right there, I could stop and say, really, God? Really? Really? Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, in every situation, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So we have an avenue, we have an outlet. When the worry and the fears and the doubts and the anxiousness start coming, what do? We pray. We pray. We go to God in prayer. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ. So brothers and sisters, whatever is, there's eight of them, whatever is true, noble, right, and pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, think on these things. So a thought comes in your mind, and it doesn't pass this test. What do you do with it? What do you think you do with it? Throw it out. You don't think about it. You say, no, I choose what to think on. I don't have to just be like a robot and the enemy's just swirling these thoughts around our mind. No, we step on it and say in the name of Jesus, no, that did not come from God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, another go-to constantly for me. Trust in the Lord with half of your heart. Did I say something wrong? What is it supposed to say? All your heart. And lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, all is all in that scripture. Acknowledge him, and he's going to direct your path. Ladies, gentlemen, we have everything we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're not weak, barely making it. We can overcome. We're overcomers because of the Lord. By the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb, we are overcomers. So don't be satisfied with anything less. Nothing less is going to do. I'm going to overcome in this life. I know my weaknesses. I know my insecurities. But through God, I can do all things. And I'm going to be overcoming all the time. Because we're always learning. We're always in the process. We never arrive. It's a challenge. But it's a blessing. It's an adventure living for Jesus. So you don't want mediocre anything. Fake nothing. We want real. We want real living relationship with the Lord. Third biggie for me was comparison. So you can see kind of in my background how I would just fall into this. Lies that you're not good enough. You're lacking what she has. You're lacking what they have. Your family should look like this. You should have that because you don't have that. Then you're less than that person is. We can get trapped real quick by the sin of envy if we stay comparing each other, comparing churches, comparing pastors, comparing husbands, wives. Just say no to comparison. It's not wise, and you don't want to go there. I'll find it. I compared myself to a lady that was starting a church in the same town that we were. We were planting a church. We used to call it back in the day pioneering. But I was 20 years old when I met the Lord. Never read a Bible in my life. Never knew you could have a personal relationship with Jesus. Didn't know about, this was all brand new. I fell in love with the Lord passionately, and he rescued me, and he saved me. And Don and I wanted to do anything we could to serve him, but I had no idea it would be so quick. But after a year and a half in Teen Challenge helping those that have addictions, our pastor said the Holy Spirit told him he wanted us to go plant this church, and there we went. We quit our jobs. Stephanie was 3 days old. It was something else again. So when I found out there was another family in town that was starting a church just like we were, I wanted to meet her. So I went over to meet her, and this lady had it together. She had it together. I remember this so distinctly. When she opened the door, she had an apron on. I mean, already I was, oh my gosh. You know, she baked home baked goods, made meals from scratch, and she sewed her children's clothes. So I was just doomed, okay? So I went back home going, woe is me, I'm undone. You know, this, one time also, I was sitting in church early, and we were at a sectional meeting or something, and one of the leaders came up to me and said, our piano player's going to be late. Could you please play for us? I said, you wouldn't want that. I have not the slightest idea how to play the piano. But because I was a pastor's wife, I was supposed to be able to play the piano. So these are the things, you know, it's like, oh my gosh. So what do you do with that? You renew your mind. You renew your mind in the word of God, and you grow up. all those things taught me to run to Jesus, to run to the Word. I would cry and cry and cry. Why did you bring me here? You know I don't have what it takes. You must have made a mistake. This got to be wrong. And I would just cry and cry and go to the Word, and God always encouraged me. Galatians 6, 4, and 5, make a careful exploration of who you are. That's a good assignment for each one of us. And the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. With your own life. We have enough to take care of just us. Instead of just going and busybodying with everybody else's business, we just need to stay on course and just, God, help me to be the best me I can be. I want to serve you. If we'll please the Lord, that's what matters. He'll even make your enemies be at peace with you. So let him be the goal of who you want to please. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. I had to believe God didn't make a mistake. I had to believe that the one who called us would equip us, even with all my insecurities, low self-esteem, comparisons, all the things, all the gifts that I never even knew I had gifts. I was never told I had a gift. What is that? This was all brand new to me. But as time went on, I discovered them. And then I said, I want to use every gift I can to help others like me, that you are somebody and that you can do things for the Lord. You don't have to have a degree. It's great if you do, but you don't have to. If God calls you, he will equip you. Theodore Roosevelt had a quote that I thought was so good concerning comparison. And he was one of our presidents, if you don't know. Comparison is the thief of joy. The best way to rob yourself of happiness and joy is to continue to compare yourself. The way you look, how big you are, how skinny you are. That's not the place you want to be. You can't enjoy life doing that. So we need to all just stop it. Put your confidence in God. He made you to be you and not someone else. You're not a mistake. Develop your own unique gifts and talents. Strengthen your strengths. You know what to do. Good. You know. The enemy is relentless at telling us what we're not, what we don't have. That it's not, you're not good enough. That's not good enough. You know what you're good at. Just get with it. Strengthen it. Make it better. And just tell him to get lost. He's defeated anyway. Let God control your life and give Satan no opportunity to discourage you from the purpose God has for you. We were at our first church in Donaldsonville for almost 19 years. So God helped us. We built two buildings, didn't we, Lee? Yeah. And a beautiful congregation. They're my dearest family still today. So God helped us. And he'll help you in whatever you're trying to do for him. But we need to do a couple of things. Deal with the past. And that's not always easy. But it's something that's going to have to take place if you're going to go forward and you're going to move forward. Forgive others. Time's too short. It's not worth holding on to. It only hurts you. Forgive them. If you need to ask forgiveness, do so. Humble yourself and go and ask forgiveness for whatever you may have done. If they accept you, great. You've gained your brother, your sister, your friend. If they don't, live at peace with them and leave it to God. Vengeance belongs to him. It doesn't belong to us because we don't know how to do it. We do it wrong. We hurt people. Vengeance belongs to him. He'll repay. He knows how to do it correctly. Romans is an excellent, excellent, excellent book if you want to know who you are in Christ, if you want to know what has been done for you. It was my textbook when I first got saved. It's still dear and near to my heart. I understand that all moms may not have been there for you. You may have had a bad experience growing up, kind of like Joyce Meyer. I know some of you went to go see her when she was here. I went to see her when she was in Baton Rouge recently. But she has this statement that you may not have had a good start in life, but you can have a great finish. The question is, do you want one? Do you want a great finish? Do you want to stay where you are today? Do you want to deal with some of these weaknesses and insecurities in your life and realize the power of God within you to help you to overcome? It's your choice. It's my choice. I'm choosing that I'm not going to stay in the past. There's nothing back there. I can't undo anything. There's regrets. Sure, all of us would like to go back and make things right. Sometimes we can't. We have to forgive ourselves. Sometimes that's the hardest person to forgive. But we need to do it, and with the grace and the help of God, He will help us. And we will go forward and move forward in the Lord. Trust God with the future. Trust He knows what's best. Do you think He does? I think God knows best. He's working it out and will turn it around for good. He doesn't own a clock. He's not in a hurry. Surrender to Jesus and stop trying to work it out and trying to fix it. Yoke up with Him in prayer instead. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Just think that Jesus, and He is, He's speaking this to you, but just take it literally. Come to me and put your name there. Come to me, Eileen. You who labor and are heavy laden, overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your soul. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, ease, refreshment, and quiet for your souls. Why on earth would we not take that? Why on earth would we not take advantage of that promise and go to Him? We need that. We have to have that in this world. It's so stressful. We need to go to the Lord. Lord, I'm coming. I'm coming. I need that ease and refreshment. I need your help to get through this. Yoke up with the Lord. He'll never leave you or forsake you. If we deal with the past, if we trust God with the future, then we can enjoy what? The present. It's a gift. We're here this morning. It's a gift. God's given us a gift. Praise God, we need to enjoy it. Are you enjoying it? Are you enjoying your day? A beautiful day in New Mexico? It's a beautiful day. It's the day He's made, so we're going to rejoice and be glad in it and experience new mercies, forgiveness, and grace and abundance. Philippians 3, 12 through 14, Paul says, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining toward what is ahead. So that doesn't sound like it's real easy, does it? Strain, if you strain, strain toward what's ahead. I press on for the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing on. I'm going forward. I am not going to look back. When I look back, it makes me sad. It makes me unhappy. And I don't want to be sad and unhappy. I can't do anything about it. I have to forgive people and forgive myself. And then in the future, why worry about it? Can I change it? Do I know what's ahead? No, unless the Lord lets me know. So if I'm living in the past and worrying about the future, I am miserable today. I am really not having a good day. So we don't want to do that. We're going to say no looking back except to thank God for how he has rescued you. How about that? If we look back, we say, praise God, I remember God delivered me. Praise God, I remember he answered my prayer. And that just gives builds your faith up to believe God for more. So as I close, if the worship team would come back up, if they would, just a couple more things I want to share with you. And that is, live Jesus high, real high, real high. What I mean by that is love him dearly, sincerely, at all times. Luke 10:27, you know this scripture. It says you must love the Lord your God with half of your heart. No, tell me, what does it say? All of your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. That's everything. That's everything. Love Jesus. Love Jesus. Love Jesus. You're the salt. You're the light. Let your love be shown to your family. If you love Jesus, if you love his word, guess who's going to love Jesus? Your family. Your family's going to love Jesus. They're going to love the word. God's word is so powerful. It has all the answers to all the questions you will ever ask in your entire life. Every single answer is in the word. It's you have to find it. You have to go for it. And guess what? You've got the Holy Spirit that's going to help you and guide you and teach you and train you and remind you. We've got everything we need to live godly in Christ Jesus. The word tells us that we have everything we need. You're not lacking anything this morning. I want to let you know you're not less than anyone in this building. You can live for Jesus full time, 24/7, overcoming Christian. You can do that. We can do that. We need to believe God. We need to love him. We need to trust him. We need to love his word. His word, listen to this. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living. That it's not dead. It's not just it was your grandmother or your grandfather. This is a living, active word. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. My gosh, y'all. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. So don't hide from him. Don't hide anything from the Lord. He knows it anyway, right? Everything's uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So don't try to pretty yourself up. Just come just as you are, flaws and all. Hey, God, you know, here I am. Without you, I can do nothing. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I will hide your words in my heart so that I don't sin against you, Lord. I'm challenging you today to rise up, face the weaknesses, face the struggles with the word of God in prayer with the help of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to make it. You are going to make it. You will make it. If you would you stand? I know you have places to go and families to meet up with, but would you do me a favor? Would all the moms come forward to the altar? Aren't they beautiful? Y'all are beautiful. Families, if you would you come and stand behind your mom? Squeeze in there. Get in there. If you don't have family with you, I want everybody to have somebody praying for them. Would you, Harvest, come and just fill in the gaps, if there's any gaps, so that every lady is going to be prayed for? I want to read you a scripture, and I want you to say something with me. It's in Lamentations 3, 20 through 23. My soul is downcast within me. That may be where you are today, going through a real tough time with a child, with a marriage, with a loved one. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, and this is what I want you to say, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Jesus is coming. He's there for you. He's your Savior, defender. He's your helper, deliverer. He will be there for you in every situation. Would you all begin praying? And I'm going to give this to Pastor Jason. Thank you.
Do y'all see a resemblance in Lisa and her mom? Huh? It's uncanny, right? Mom, will you pray over the moms this morning?
I would love to.
All right. You're better equipped than I am.
Okay.
So pray over the moms this morning.
I will. Father, I just want to thank you that it's a brand new day with a brand new beginning. I want to thank you, Father God, that these beautiful women of God are not going to be hard on themselves any longer. They're going to face the insecurities and the problems that they've had with you and with your word, God. That they're going to see miracles in their lives, miracles in their home. That they're going to be a different person than they are today, next year at Mother's Day. Lord, that they're going to look back and say, my gosh, look what the Lord has helped me to do. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that they're going to bring all their needs to you. They're going to yoke up with you. They're going to run to you in the prayer closet, Lord, because you care for them. You want them to come to you, Lord, because you know you're the only one that can supply their needs. You're the only one that can answer their prayers, God. Your grace is sufficient for each one, God, and grace will be there for them to face everything that they're facing right now. God's always working. He's never on vacation. He sees. He knows. Lord, I pray for a passionate love relationship with you for each person here, the men and the women, Lord, that we will not sit on the back burner anymore, God. That, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know you. You love me. I want to love you the way you love me, Jesus. We don't want just lukewarm Christians. We want on fire Jesus lovers. God, I pray that each one here, Lord, that they will pursue you passionately and that their lives will make a 180-degree change. Lord, and you will bless them, bless their families, bless their finances, bless their jobs, Lord. Bless them coming in and going out, God. Thank you, Father God, for touching their bodies. Some may be sick here today and they're in pain. God, I ask you to come and bring healing, Lord, where healing is needed. Encourage, Lord, those that are hopeless this morning. I pray that none leave here without realizing there's hope. Encourage them, God, I pray. Bless them in Jesus' name, and may they have a wonderful day. Amen.
Amen. Stay where you're at just for a second. No, you can go. I just, when she was talking, there was a particular part that just really jumped in my spirit, and I just want to remind you of this and encourage you, if this is you, to act on it today. It talked about getting over our past, and that maybe there's someone you need to forgive. And I really felt like that was for someone here today, probably specifically with your mom. And I would just encourage you, maybe you've held out on making that relationship right. And you might even be right in holding that, but you're not right. So I would encourage you to make that right today. That's a lot of rights. And all I'm trying to say is forgive. Make the call today. Don't let it go another Mother's Day with that hanging over you. I just felt like that was something for you today. Ladies, not just the moms, but ladies, on your way out, grab a drink and just know that we love you. Thank you for being here today. Our custom, I just say this little blessing over you. So if you'll allow me and take advantage, you're all like right here close. So take advantage and hug someone. Don't just rush out, all right? But as you're leaving today, may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, give you grace now and forever. Harvest, go be the church.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.